G'day, Paul Barclay here with Australia Talks on ABC Radio National, Radio Australia on the web or on your MP3 player. Every now and then you get one of those classic David and Goliath struggles where a small community strenuously resists the prospect of a big multinational coming to town. Byron Bay and Club Med come to mind. Port Douglas and McDonald's was another. Well, in a similar vein, residents of the small northern New South Wales town of Murrumbimby recently took the unusual and expensive step of placing a large newspaper ad in the Australian Financial Review to highlight their campaign against Woolworths. They believe the supermarket will destroy the community's heritage values. What power do local communities have to protect their unique character, and how does large-scale development affect small towns? Not just the way they look, but that sense of community. Is it a matter of just striking the right balance between preservation and progress? Because sometimes the arrival of a big company does bring some much-needed jobs with them. Maybe your town faces or has faced a similar dilemma. Maybe you're a supporter of increased development in your town. Or perhaps a big chain store has just arrived in your neck of the woods. How did it change the character of your community, for better or for worse? Love to hear from you on 1300 22 55 76. That's 1300 22 55 76. You can always visit us on our website and post your views there. And if you're intending on calling us from the Northern Territory and South Australia, then get on the blower right now. I'd like to introduce our guests for today. Deborah Lilly is coordinator of the Murrumbimby Community Action Network. Simon Berger is community relations manager with Woolworths. And we also have on the panel Paul Summers. But Deborah Lilly, I'll come to you first of all. An expanded range of shopping outlets doesn't necessarily sound like a bad thing for a small country town like Murrumbimby. Why are you and others in the town so opposed to the arrival of Woolworths?
Ah, right. Hello, Paul. An expanded range of shopping outlets. Do you mean one great big box with a whole lot of things, a one-stop shop for everything? Do you think that will benefit our community? I don't, actually. At the moment, in Murrumbimby, we've got two butchers, two bakers, two stationery shops, two pubs, three bottle shops, and on and on. And we have a really good, thriving community here. I think if a big box is built just outside on the outskirts of the CBD, it's going to divide the town, and a lot of people who shop in the main street will be diverted away to the big box one-stop shop.
Mm. But if the local community doesn't want the Woolworths to come to town, then why will they shop there?
Yes, well, I don't think a lot of people will. But when new housing developments are built around the town, people that come from the city who don't know the history will shop there, like is happening in Mullaney.
Mm. Now, you're saying, I think, also that the development will affect the feel of Murrumbimby, the emotional character of the town, if you like, and if you visited there, you'll perhaps know what I mean. How do you quantify that, the effect of a large supermarket and the type of design, I suppose, of that supermarket and the impact it has on, as I said, the sort of emotional character of a town?
Well, just sticking with the economy, I just want to mention the local multiplier effect. When locals spend their money, like if I go to the health food shop and I spend $100, they give that money to a farmer for goods, and the farmer goes to an accountant who goes to the local bank who supports a new business who buys food at the health food shop. So say that $100, if it circulates within the community, it can act like $800. But if you go to shop in a big box, the money is siphoned out of the community. And this will have a detrimental effect on everyone, the accountants, the hairdressers, the massage therapists. Everyone in the community will be impacted by money leaving the local economy.
Mm. Simon Berger, there's an encapsulation, if you like, of the argument against Woolworths coming to Murrumbimby and the adverse effect that Deborah thinks it will have on the town. How do you respond to that?
Well, look, Deborah mentioned that money is diverted from, she fears money being diverted. At the moment, what's happening is that a lot of customers, or a lot of residents in the town who would be customers in the town if there was a Woolworths there, are not so much voting with their feet, but voting with their cars, driving to Byron Bay or as far as Tweed or as Lismore, because they just can't get the range and the value that they want to be able to do their solid weekly grocery shopping. And whilst they're out of town, they might make a day of it. They might get their hair cut out of town. They might pick up pharmaceuticals. They might go to the stationery store. They might buy some of the things that they would buy at those local shops. We know customers like diversity and choice. If you go to any Woolworths around the country, you'll see greengrocers and butchers and bakers right outside our front door. We like them being there because customers like diversity and choice, and they like being there because we're the anchor tenant that keeps the foot traffic there and that provides opportunities for them.
But the fear is that you'll squash choice, that the mere size and impact of a Woolworths store will actually reduce choice in the town.
We don't believe that that will be the case because we believe that we'll keep spending in Mullumbimby. And by keeping that foot traffic there, that will provide opportunities for the savviest small business in the town. Because at the moment, the feedback we get from a lot of local people, and I do acknowledge that there's a diversity of views on this subject, and we know that support has to be earned. But there are a lot of people in this diverse community that want the quality and the range and the convenience and the value that Woolworths offers, and we want to give it to them.
Mm. Deborah Lilly, is that true? Is there a demand in the town for Woolworths to come? And is that unmet demand currently resulting in people leaving Mullumbimby to do that shopping in Byron Bay or in towns further afield?
I think there's a small number of people that go out to do their shopping. I have heard it said. But I think talking about diversity, to have a diversity of shops in Mullumbimby keeps our economy resilient. If we all rely on the big box, if everyone shops there and the local shops close down, then we won't be resilient. We'll be dependent on food being trucked up from Sydney. And I went into Woolworths yesterday to do some research, and I was amazed to see the food miles on so many items. For instance, tinned whole potatoes coming from Belgium, garden peas from Belgium, carrots from Belgium, minted peas and kidney beans and tomatoes from Italy, green beans from China, sweet corn from Thailand, chocolate from Germany and Poland. I mean, this is not good for the Australian economy if, say, every 20 cents that is spent in every dollar in Australia that goes to the duopoly is going out of the country to China or...
Sure. I'll bring you in, Paul Summers. I think we've got a good sense there of the two sides of the argument. Your view, though, as a land use planner, does the arrival of a large supermarket such as Woolworths tend to force small independent shops out of business?
I think, Paul, thanks for having me on. I think, yes, it does. It can bring about impacts, but I think Deborah's just raised a really good point there in relation to the transport costs, particularly, of bringing food from overseas. In these days of greenhouse gas emissions, sea level rises and things like that, the major chains import a lot of stock from overseas, which is transported. It doesn't make sense to me at all to be transporting produce that we grow in Australia quite easily and transporting it thousands of kilometres by sea, burning fossil fuels to do so.
Mm. But what Simon Berger was saying from Woolworths is that they welcome having local stores around their shopping centre. It's not their intention at all to squeeze out the competition other than just to provide an additional range of choice. Are you saying that that's actually not the case in practice?
I think there's a range of different examples which we could draw from. Certainly where there's out-of-centre development, in order to establish out-of-centre development, the question for tenants that remain within the main street, within the traditional main street, is a difficult one. Do they relocate to go where the chain store goes? Do they stay where they are and try to ride it out? It does, as Deborah said before, it has the potential, as Deborah said before, to split the town.
Mm.
And in these small towns where the margins might be marginal, that makes it quite difficult. And you often see family businesses that are long established, well respected by their local communities, well supported by their local communities, moving on as a consequence.
Going to take some calls in just a moment, but before I do, Simon Berger from Woolworths. Most supermarkets are built based on the big concrete box design, and that alone can offend people. You know, they just think that that design actually is not conducive with a local environment. Can you not adapt the design to make it more in keeping with the local architecture of a town like Mullumbimby?
Look, that is something we're very open to doing. And in the case of Mullumbimby, we have, following some community feedback, we offered to address or to be available to a meeting held by Deborah Lilly's group, by the way, in March 2008, and she declined that opportunity. But we did attend a public meeting in May 2008 and received some ideas, and we have changed the design quite a bit. We're very open to doing that. We're very, very good retailers. We do develop stores because that's a way of being able to sell customers what they want, but we are very open to ideas about how to make that visually appealing or functional, or how to get that to fit in. We did make some design changes in Mullumbimby. We do that in a lot of places.
Mm-hmm.
I'd just like to very briefly
just
address a misconception that has been put out. Fully 100% of Woolworths' fresh meat and 95% of our fruit and vegetables are sourced from Australian farmers. We do source a lot of things locally to the Mullumbimby region, everything from avocados in Alstonville to light cheese in Lismore. And unlike Aldi and Costco, who are big competitors coming in what is an increasingly competitive market, we mm-hmm. are a proud Australian company.
Okay, Simon, I'm going to take some calls. Simon Berger is from Woolworths. Paul Summers is a land use planner, and Deborah Lilly is from the Mullumbimby Community Action Network. It's a local dispute, really, I suppose, that we've heard about so far, a dispute between those in Mullumbimby who don't want the Woolworths, but we don't want to limit it to that at all. What's your experience in your town with large-scale retail or tourist development? Are there threats in your local community, or do you welcome more choice coming to your town? Maybe more jobs. 1300 22 55 76. Kim in Melbourne. Hello, Kim.
Hi, how are you?
Very well, thanks. You've been to Mullumbimby?
Yeah, I have. I've been there, and what struck me was the supermarket of Mullumbimby when I first drove in. I drove in, parked the car opposite the supermarket, and looked across. When I looked across, I saw a guy dressed in a pink tutu
yes.
putting 20 cents in the little rocking elephant in front of the supermarket. And I thought, well, that's pretty strange.
Mm.
And then I turned around and looked back, and then there was a guy in a caveman suit walking in the front door of the supermarket. So I thought, wow, this is pretty interesting. And I had to go to the supermarket to get some things. When I walked in there, I actually found that the guy, the fairy in the pink tutu, and the guy in the caveman suit talking to each other about the price of peas.
Mm.
So it just gives you some idea of how unique that little place is and the culture around it. I mean, and that was quite normal. People didn't blink an eyelid, you know.
Perhaps that is the unique character of Mullumbimby that we were referring to earlier, or one of the aspects of it anyway, the diversity of the town. Thanks, Kim. Nick in Brunswick is next. Hello, Nick.
Hi.
Oh, this is not just an issue for Mullumbimby. Nick, I think that's the point you wanted to raise.
Well, that's right. I mean, you know, we live in inner city Melbourne, and each of these little bits of a big town is like a village anyway, right? And we've got, in our little area, and everybody's moved in here because they like this particular village atmosphere, and we've got, a Coles being threatened to be put in just up the road with 700 new residences. And because of the planning issues that are going on in Victoria, where local residents don't have any say anymore, this stuff's just being dumped on us. And we are now faced with a complete change to the local environment and to the, you know, the nature of our relationships in this community.
Mm.
So I think it's happening all over the place, and unless you get good community consultation and unless the community is involved in trying to, you know, specify the kinds of things that can be done in the local region,
yes,
then things are going to change dramatically, and they're going to make it a place that nobody actually wants to go to anymore, right?
And I think this goes right to the heart of the issue that we will soon deal with. Perhaps we'll bring you in, Paul Summers, just to quickly address it, the issue of planning. A lot of this comes down to planning controls and planning approvals. What would you say makes good planning in the context of sensitive planning for a local community?
Good community planning is based on having a great understanding of the local community. So it really requires local planners involved with their local community, designing plans that are designed to fulfil the needs of those communities. Now, that's very easy to say, but the key thing is local planners. These days, we've got two very strong influences occurring in planning. One is the state government, particularly across the eastern states in Victoria, New South Wales and Queensland, where the state government is ruling the roost, where the state government is now stepping into local matters constantly, and as a consequence, the state is so far removed from local matters, it's just simply not possible for it to deliver the sorts of outcomes that local communities are seeking.
Mm.
That, after all, was the intention of local government. That's one of its footings.
Yes, and we do see that increasingly, state governments making those big decisions. And also there's a criticism, Simon Berger, of companies like Woolworths that you don't actually go to the local community to find out what's best for them at all, and in fact that you're the beneficiary of state-based decisions that override local intentions. What's your response to that?
Well, that's a bit unfair. We are very keen to consult with any community that wants to have a legitimate dialogue with us. I went to a protest rally at Newport the other day, and that's a case in point where there are some concerns and questions about our design, and we have thought very hard about how we can come up with a feasible alternative for that community, and we'll update them soon. We're very open to that. But at the end of the day, there is nothing incompatible with having a supermarket. And that's what we're talking about here, supermarket. There are thousands of them around the country. They're places where you go to get the things you need and want to live a decent and comfortable life. And by having the range and the value and the convenience locally, you can have, I would argue, your shopping fit around your lifestyle rather than have to have your lifestyle fit around your shopping. There's nothing incompatible with unique lifestyle and the unique character of the people. Woolies will gladly serve the pink tutu man and the guy in the caveman suit, and their peas will be cheaper, and
yes,
they'll probably have more choice. And they can do whatever they want to do with the pink tutu and the caveman suit, and that's when it comes to feeding them and the basic things they need for their household, we'll be there. That's
yes,
what we do.
Deborah Lilly, if I can bring you in on this point, is this the central problem that you have, that the local will has not been acknowledged in this in terms of the planning approval, that the local council said no? Presumably the local council is to some extent a democratic representative of the people that live there, yet it was overridden by the state government?
Yes, that's right. The original development application was put in by Mullum's, a local supermarket, who said they wanted to expand, and they put form letters in all the plastic bags as people checked out saying, please support us, because if we don't expand, the big guys like Woolworths will come in. And anyway, the development went to council, and when they saw what they wanted to put on the block, they said they rejected it, said, no, that doesn't fit there. So then Mullums went to Frank Sartor, who was then the planning minister, who approved it after our council had said no.
Perfectly legitimate for them to do so, though. The procedures that have been followed are all legitimate procedures.
Yes, that's right. Then Woolworths bought the development application and they wanted to change it, and they had it approved by Christina Keneally. Again, legitimate process, but you know, we've been deprived. The local people, as Paul Summers was saying, the local people who know the land, who know the impact, who know the flood plain, who know about the size of the supermarket compared to the site and the on-site septic.
Their will is not being followed, I think, is what you're saying.
Look, that's Deborah, right.
Yeah, I just want to take some more calls. As I said, this is not just an issue for Mullumbimby. In fact, we've got Leo on the line now from Glenorchy. Hi, Leo.
Hi.
Hi there.
My point may be rebutted somewhat by what was said about people going and shopping elsewhere. If they do their shopping in Mullumbimby instead of elsewhere, there's more shopping dollars there. But basically, it is a matter that shopping dollars doesn't increase. The example I'd like to give is Big W came into my area a little while back and it said about creating jobs. But OK, who pays for those jobs but the shoppers? If you just simply increase jobs, there's less money to buy goods with. And as for the establishment of a new retailer in there, it may have gave us a choice of a different brand, but it didn't give us any more variety of items to choose from in reality.
OK, Leo, thanks. David in Newport. Hello, David. G'day.
G'day.
You've been fighting a similar local campaign, is this right?
We certainly have in Newport. I've just been listening, and I'd like to take issue with Simon Berger that supermarkets are innocuous. I mean, the thing is that in Newport, it's a terribly small place. It's on the one side we've got the sea, on the other side we've got an escarpment.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got a small amount of land left, which we would like to see developed as a village centre. It would make a huge difference to the quality of Newport. But what Woolworths are proposing is a supermarket of almost 1 acre in size. And there's a huge difference in terms of the size of these things. This is the essential thing, that if you've got a small supermarket, yes, it can fit into a small community. No one's saying that there shouldn't be supermarkets.
Mm.
But the thing that we are saying is that if you take something of almost 1 acre in size, now, Simon Berger says that just outside there'll be this collection of local shops.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be a collection of local shops, okay, but those local shops will be within the concrete box most often.
Okay.
And that's a really vital point about all this.
Okay. Look, thanks, David. In Newport, 1300 22 55 76. You may actually recall back in 2006, Woolworths opened a store in Mullaney on Queensland's Sunshine Coast hinterland, and you might also recall the huge protests in the years preceding the opening. Well, Australia Talk's producer, Karen Zivanovits, went to Mullaney some years later to find out how people feel about the supermarket 4 years on.
Attitudes towards Woolworths still divide the town, but in the view of Stephen Dittman, president of Mullaney Chambers of Commerce, the town has moved on.
I think the opposition is gradually being diluted as time goes on. I think the strength of Mullaney, the character, all the good things, has been maintained. It hasn't wrecked the town. And I put that down predominantly to the strength that was in Mullaney, to say, look, I want to support the local business as much as the supermarkets.
But Graham Earle, former media coordinator with the campaign called Mullaney Voice, doesn't see any abatement in feeling.
If you go back to the independent survey that was done by the local newspaper, 79% of people didn't want Woolworths in the town, and I don't think any of those people have changed their mind. But a lot of the people who come to Mullaney are coming here because it is a little bit different. It's a very community-minded town. When they come here, they embrace that and do mix with the people who are here already, and the feeling gets passed on.
It's old core protesters against newcomers and people living on the ranges. Leslie Ulrich runs a guest house in Mullaney and arrived just after the opening of Woolworths. While she can understand the environmental concerns about the supermarket site, she visits all the Mullaney shops.
The best thing, I suppose, that Woolworths has done is create employment for the young ones. I think people have accepted it. It's there. They can't get rid of it, so people are shopping there. Yeah, I think they do still comment on it, but you don't hear it like we used to hear it when we first came here. And we have guests come, and no one says that it spoils the look of the town.
Former campaigner Graham Earl admits that the supermarket has had no impact on local businesses and their cooperative character.
They put it down to customer loyalty, and there was a sort of residual anger in the community about the way the whole thing ended. It just went from one disaster to the next to the next, and in the end, Woolworths and the developer agreed to sell the site back to us, but they put an impossible figure on it of $2.1 million. But to their surprise, we raised that money. When we went to present the cheque to them, they just said, oh no, the deal's off. So that really infuriated a lot of people.
The arrival of Woolworths has brought new money to Mullaney. Stephen Dittman, president of the Chamber of Commerce.
They do draw people from the hinterland, like from probably closer to Nambour. They do come to Mullaney now. A lot of the locals did go to Biwa for Woolworths prior to Woolworths coming here, so it also helps the local businesses. So it's building Mullaney's strength as a service town rather than just a place where people live and go somewhere else to work.
And also visually, the supermarket is not the eyesore people feared.
We still have a creek going through town, we still have all the wildlife and everything, it's there. The natural beauty, it's still been maintained through careful control. And the style of the building certainly fits as close as a large corporation can to the nature of Mullaney. Really, they conform to Mullaney rather than coming to a town and just conforming the town to them.
Graham Earl agrees the store next to Obi Obi Creek is quite unobtrusive for another reason.
The community has been handed the job of redoing the vegetation on the bank, and there's been some pretty subtle planting of quite large trees, so in a few years' time Woolworths won't be visible from the main street. I'm not sure they know that yet.
And thanks to Australia Talks producer Karin Zivanovits for putting that report together. Simon Berger, I suppose it's fair to say that when you open the talkback lines, you don't get terribly many people saying generous things about large corporations, and that's certainly been the case so far. Nonetheless, down the track, we've just had a bit of background history there of the Mullaney campaign. How well is that store, that Woolworths store in Mullaney, now travelling for Woolworths?
We get about 6,500 customers a week, and there are about 5,000 people in the town, so you do the math. I understand it had a bit of a slow start because it was not a cool place to be seen, because it you know, had a bit of a protest, and that's regrettable. But I think what that package that you just played showed is that once we are in a community, once we're given a chance, once we are able to offer the quality and the range and the convenience and the value, and once people see that it's local people, and particularly the young ones, 45% of our staff are under 25. We're the company more than anyone else that gives people the training and the opportunity and the work ethic and gives them a start in life.
Okay.
And so point being, once we're given the opportunity in a community, we do very well and we earn support. Where we could perhaps be better, and we don't like going through things like Mullaney. We are a tall poppy, and there's fault on both sides. But maybe we could do a little bit better at taking the community with us, and maybe some of the communities that are fearful of change can just open their minds a tiny bit, and maybe we can find some more common ground.
Just want to hear from one of the voices you heard in that package from Mullaney, just briefly. Graham Earl was the media coordinator for that Mullaney campaign. He's with us now on Australia Talks. Graham, I understand that, in fact, you're now engaged with some other communities opposing large-scale developments at large supermarkets. How common is the conflict that we've had in Mullaney that we're now having in Mullumbimby, from your perspective?
Good afternoon, Paul. It's a lot more common than I thought until I started researching it. I've been gradually researching it for 4 or 5 years now. And there are nearly 30 towns or suburbs around Australia in the past 5 years that have had similar problems. I must say, not all with Woolworths, often with Coles. And I'm sorry to report that only about 6 of those towns have actually won.
But is it the case that what happens is locals complain about the supermarket coming to town, there's all of this talk about a consumer boycott and no one's going to go there, and years down the track, these supermarkets are in fact welcomed into the local towns, people are shopping there, and there's really been no great catastrophe as was predicted at the time?
Well, I dispute vehemently that people are shopping there. I don't know where Simon gets his figure of 6,500, because the car park's more often empty than not, and most of the cars that are there are shopping elsewhere. In fact, the local IGA fellow has had to retrieve some of his shopping trolleys from the Woolworths car park. But Yes, it hasn't had the dreadful effect that a lot of us expected, and that is, as Stephen Dittman said, due to the loyalty of local shoppers. And I think I said also earlier that we were so badly hurt by what happened that a lot of people can't even bear to look at the place, let alone shop there. And there's an awful lot of us.
Yes. Good to talk to you. Graham Earle, the former media coordinator of the Mulaney campaign. You're with Australia Talks. We're talking about, I suppose, the character of small rural towns, their special, unique character, and how large-scale developments, big retail chains, perhaps tourist outlets, supermarkets and so forth, can alter the character of that town. And we've got a range of guests on the program representing the dispute currently going on in Mullumbimby. Deborah Lilly from the Mullumbimby Community Action Network, Simon Berger from Woolworths, and land use planner Paul Summers. Paul, where do most of the problems between communities and developers arise? Is this a dispute around a development that's going to occur in the traditional town centre, or is it more likely to be a development on the outskirts of town?
More likely to be on the outskirts of town, because that's where the land is cheaper. That's where you don't have to put together individual parcels of land in order to make something large enough to sustain a large-scale supermarket. The real crux of the issue comes down to planning, and the argument that was put previously was that everything followed the rules. It was okay to go to the planning minister because it followed the rules. Probably what might be found, and I know this is the case in the Mulaney instance, is that the planning scheme, the instrument that controlled the development and guided development, hadn't been completed by the particular council that was involved. So they hadn't actually, they'd done one part of the work but not completed the other part of the work. Had they completed the other part of the work, the Woolworths would not have been able to proceed on that site. So it's a poor planning call. And what I often find when I'm examining these circumstances is that the planners that have put together the planning schemes haven't really looked at the growth that's going to occur in the area and said, well, look, we'll probably get to a scale where we're going to need these sorts of facilities. Where will we put them? And that's a hard decision to make as to whether to try to force them into the internal spaces to what's called in-centre development to try and support the centre, or whether to accept something on the outside.
Is it also the case, though, Paul, that from time to time communities don't like the idea of a big development coming to town, of a big multinational retail outlet, but they find that actually it isn't as bad as they thought, and that in a sense that decision by the state government to override the local will is vindicated?
I think you've got to look at it from a perspective of what would have occurred otherwise, and can that community measure what would have occurred otherwise. So in the instance of Mulaney, the Woolworths is there. Mulaney and the district around it is going to continue to grow for some time yet. And as a consequence of that, there'll be a range of new people that will make use of the Woolworths. So it will survive and it will be there into the future. But the real question is, what could have occurred had proper planning been carried out to determine, that is, the local government's determining whether to have in-centre development or out-of-centre development. What I find is that most planning schemes don't actually answer the questions. And as a consequence, when a developer comes to town, or when Woolworths or Coles come to town, the question's not answered, and so it's fairly simple for their consultants to put together an argument, put together a case, to find a way through the planning scheme to run an argument. And the planning scheme was put together at a point in time when the community was having input into that process. And if the planners and the councils don't actually ask those questions at that point, it's producing a plan for the community. At the end point, when we're dealing with a Coles supermarket or a Woolworths supermarket, we're dealing with the development. We're not dealing with those big questions about whether we should have this form of development, and B, if we should have it, where should it be located?
Do those supermarkets, though, at the end of the day, bring additional revenue and additional jobs into small towns where, as we know, jobs are often scarce?
It's a question that I'd prefer to leave because I think it's quite a complex question. I've been reading ACCC reports on the issues. I think there's two quite different schools of thought, and I suggest that perhaps it's the term at which you look. It's very easy to say in the short term, kids get jobs with Woolworths. I wonder what the longer term impacts are as some of the retailers start to go out of business, as is the case in some of the towns that we're dealing with.
Deborah Lilly, just before I let you go, presumably if you're right and the community doesn't want this store in Mullumbimby, then they will refuse to shop there and Woolworths will have a totally dud store on their hands. Do you think that'll be the case?
Well, maybe. Yes, we've got a new farmers market going to open up after Easter in Mullumbimby, and there's already three in the Shire. So probably it'd be a good idea if Woolworths actually had some sort of opinion poll and checked out whether people really want it, because they're going to have quite a lot of competition from the local farmers.
Simon Bircher, just on that, Simon, I would imagine that you do some research. I would be surprised if a large company invests millions of dollars in a major development without having done any research. How do you decide that, okay, Mullumbimby's the next place we're going to put a shopping centre?
We look at a lot of factors. I don't want to give away all of our trade secrets, but of all the criticisms I've heard about Woolworths tonight, I don't think the fact that we're not good at running a business is one of them. We are not in the business of building buildings that are too big with stock and inventory that no one wants to buy. We do our homework. We study the economic factors, demographic, population, how that area's been serviced at the moment. We assess a range of things. We might know people in the area, get anecdotal feedback. But at the end of the day, we back our ability to be able to put forward an offer, and we don't take any customer for granted.
Do you get it wrong? Do sometimes you get it wrong and you put a store in the wrong place?
We are a very successful retailer, and it's because we're very good at delivering quality and convenience and range and value.
Okay.
And just to the question
not,
of
not,
the poll,
not exactly answering the question though.
Well, we do something right, and that's a fundamental point. A lot of people say Woolworths, you're big, you're the tall poppy, we should hack you down. You must have got successful because you've done something wrong. On the contrary, we started out as a single community store in 1924, and we have become a successful business because we do many, many things right.
No worries, Simon. Simon Bircher from Woolworths there. And look, thanks very much to Deborah Lilly, coordinator of the Mullumbimby Community Action Network. In a moment, we're going to hear about another case, actually, along these lines, Ulladulla in New South Wales on the south coast. But let's hear more from you. Martin is from near Mullumbimby. Hi, Martin.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What do you think about Woolies coming to town?
Well, you know, I think the people who are against it really underestimate the draw card of a major supermarket in a small town. The thing about Mullumbimby, it's actually got a catchment area of probably about 20 or 30,000 people who live in the region close enough to go to it. Now, I go there occasionally, but I don't go there to do my supermarket shopping. I either go to Ocean Shores or I go to Tweed Heads because there's Coles or a Woolworths in those areas. Now, if there was a major supermarket like Woolworths in Mullumbimby, I would go there all the time. It's the closest place for me to get to.
And I think that's the point that Simon Bircher was also making. So there's one vote.
Well, I'm just supporting, you know, as someone on the field and the ground who understands the area. And on top of that, of course, there's a whole lot of holiday traffic. I can absolutely understand why Woolworths thinks it's worthwhile putting a supermarket in Mullumbimby, even though they've already got one in Byron Bay.
Thanks, Martin. Peter in Barrel. Hi, Peter.
Hello, mate. How are you?
Good, thanks.
I'm pretty passionate about this. I've been waiting 25 minutes to get on.
Well,
and
welcome.
There's probably a huge amount of people waiting. Mate, we heard the same spin from Simon Bircher. Not necessarily from Simon, but we've all got to take into consideration Simon is only paid to get these things over the line for Woolworths.
Yes.
Okay? Simon doesn't care what happens to the independent retailer. Simon gets paid to do a job, and that's to get the spin over for Big W Woolworths. Now, we had the same situation in Mittagong. quite some time ago, a year and a half ago, and they actually convinced the Chamber of Commerce to support it. Now, for every employee, Woolworths employee, they use about 200 square metres of space. That's my understanding. Small business employs one person for every 70 to 80. So, you know, they say, oh, Woolworths will come, there'll be jobs. It's the old argument of jobs. But the loss is huge.
How big was the loss in your view? What effect did Woolworths have on small local businesses?
Where do you want to start, mate? I've been a commercial traveller for 20 years. I saw Manning Street, Taree empty when Woolworths went up the back. You know, the Woolworths thing in Mittagong was catastrophic. For 12 months, we had 18 months, 2 years probably, we had empty shops, the whole bit. Now, they talk about escape spending. Yeah, it's the same spin, different day.
Okay.
There'll always be escape spending. Your wife will get in her car and drive to the next town with a girlfriend for a day out and something to do, right?
Mm.
Mate, you won't stop. You'll have 24-hour escape spending if you put the thing in town.
Okay, Peter, I'm going to leave it there. Thanks for just letting us know about a similar dispute in your neck of the woods. Mark, this is not actually a discussion that I want to limit by any means to even supermarkets, let alone Woolworths. If there are other examples, by all means, give us a call or, in fact, head to our website at abc.net.au/rn/AustraliaTalks. Mark in Springwood in the Blue Mountains. G'day, Mark.
Yeah, g'day. How you going?
Good, thanks.
Yeah, I just wanted to pass on my experience. About 7 years ago, we had Coles come into Winmalee in the Lower Blue Mountains, which is just near Springwood. And they'd already been given planning approval by the council to build a supermarket on an existing privately owned supermarket site. So as a community group, we got together and negotiated face-to-face with Coles and got them to build an ecologically sustainable development style supermarket to fit in with the local character of the Blue Mountains.
Mm.
Now, so that's on the positive side.
Yeah.
And to Coles' credit, they actually met and dealt fairly honourably with us as a community group and did deliver some ecologically sustainable design elements to their supermarket. On the negative side, though, it has changed the character of Winmalee. The old shopping centre was quaint, if you like. The new shopping centre is a bit more bright and garish, as any other modern shopping centre is.
I suppose it raises that general question of how much can things remain the same in a changing world? Look, thanks, Mark, in Springwood. I want to now go to, as I mentioned before, Ulladulla in New South Wales, and Stephen Cook, member of the Ulladulla and Districts Community Forum. And Stephen, just recently, Ulladulla won, I suppose, a battle against Woolworths. But in fact, the town didn't want Woolworths to walk away. It was really more a conflict about the design of the building. What was the problem and what was the resolution?
Well, Paul, the main issues here originally were the location, the site that Woolworths have bought, which isn't their fault. It's on the side of a very steep hill and it's actually directly on the Princess Highway, which runs right through the centre of town. We're a very unique little town in the fact that the highway runs through the middle and we're on a very steep hill. The big part for us, though, was that a development control plan, which is DCP 56, had only just been put into place, the Amendment 4 of that, back in about July, August 2008. And over the years previous, there had been a number of developments that had been approved that hadn't met the community, but there had been, I suppose, some interpretation of the development control plan. And I suppose this goes back to what Paul Summers was talking about before, where he was saying that if the rules are in place, people will stick to them. So the new DCP 56 was basically, the Amendment 4 was put into place in 2008, August. Council elections happened in 2008, September. And some of those councillors that had previously approved, I suppose, designs and or developments that hadn't really been, I suppose, excited the community, actually got voted out. So the new swathe of councillors, especially in our ward, which is Ward 3 here of Shoalhaven City Council, were and had vowed that they would support the amendments to the DCP 56, and that would be the case.
We're getting into a lot of detail and not much time to go.
Okay.
Would it be fair to say that, in a nutshell, you've established a degree of cooperation now and that perhaps cooperation has delivered you more than conflict, and in fact the new Woolworths is helping to improve the character of your town?
Well, the new Woolworths hasn't actually been built yet.
Or will improve the character, help to improve the character of your town?
Yeah, the idea, what we got was we got a local architect to do alternate plans. Woolworths had previously presented three that were just not acceptable. A local architect came up with a design. Woolworths actually changed some internal staff, and suddenly we had a consultative process that happened.
Okay.
Now, the eventual design is what's going in, and hopefully it will add value to the town.
Paul Summers, do you think that sounds like a good outcome to you, the type of outcome you'd like to see more of, a more cooperative approach between a big retail outlet, a big developer and a local council?
If the decision is the right decision to put the centre in that location, yes, that's a reasonable way to go. Woolworths engage with their design teams. The design teams are usually city-based, so it's often very useful to use local architects who have a feel for the landscape and the landform in the area and can incorporate features within the building that fit with that landscape and landform.
I suppose the point we haven't raised tonight is that when these matters do become the subject of legal dispute and court procedures, then I think it's fair to say that clearly in those instances, large companies like Woolworths are rather well placed to fight them. But Simon, if I can come to you from Woolworths, because Simon Berger, this is, you open around 30 new stores a year. I'm just wondering, how often do you face conflict over them?
Not as many as a listener to this program might imagine. Look, whenever you go anywhere or try to do anything, there'll always be somebody that raises a question or has a concern, and that's a democracy. It's a free country, and we respect that. The ones that are a real problem that cause major heartburn for the company and or the community, you could sort of count on one hand over a few years, and we've covered some of them. Well, pretty much all of them in this program.
A few high-profile cases, basically, and pretty much we've spoken of all of them tonight.
Pretty much. In most cases, we're either welcomed or accepted, and people just shop, it's just a part of the furniture.
Okay, Simon, I'm going to leave you there, and I thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you. And just to correct one thing, I am very proud to work for Woolworths. I'm not doing it just because I'm paid to. I'm picky about who I work for, and I'm proud to work for a great Australian company.
Sure. Simon Berger, Community Relations Manager with Woolworths. Thanks also very much to Stephen Cook, you just heard from there, member of the Ulladulla Districts Community Forum, and land use planner Paul Summers. Going to finish with a call or two. Tony in Brisbane. G'day, Tony.
Hello, how are you?
Good, thanks.
I just want to bring Bunnings into the mix. I remember when Bunnings came into Brisbane, I was living near Cannon Hill, which is one of their major stores.
Mm-hmm.
There was a number of Mitre 10 stores spread out throughout the suburbs in Carindale and Cannon Hill, and True Value stores and so forth, and most of them went broke. And my problem with that is that these big companies like Woolworths and Bunnings and so forth pay minimum wage, which limits the discretionary income that can be spent in the community. And the profits don't get spent in the local community by local business owners.
But they disappear into
conglomerates.
Yes,
be
that as it may, Tony, isn't it the case that consumers are choosing to shop there nonetheless?
Maybe so, but I can't see the benefit to the community. I mean, a lot of people shop at Woolies and Coles, despite the fact that they know that if there was a local store they could shop at, they would, but they don't get the option anymore because they go broke and disappear.
Okay, thanks, Tony, for your call. Our final caller, Tony, but you can contribute to our message board, abc.net.au/rn/AustraliaTalks, I suppose. Is it possible to strike a balance between large-scale commercial development and maintaining a local town's character? We'd love to read your responses from your parts of Australia. That's at abc.net.au/rn/AustraliaTalks. You can also download the program while you're there. Tomorrow on Australia Talks, fancy a glass of wine? Well, now is a perfect time for quaffers. The market is awash with bargains due to a global wine glut, but the local industry is in bad shape. Many small producers are in strife. How did things get so bad? That's on Australia Talks tomorrow. Coming up on Late Night Live with Philip Adams, a discussion with Peter Singer about the global Robin Hood tax campaign. I'm Paul Barclay. See you later.
Mike Rann has scraped back in as Premier of South Australia, aided by some blue how-to-vote cards handed out in marginal seats. encouraging voters to put their family first, these cards directed preferences to Labor. Legal? Apparently. Ethical? Perhaps not. In the National Interest, with me, Peter Mayers. Download or stream this program from the Radio National website.